Question for you. Are you a people pleaser? Or do you know any people pleasers? I looked up people pleasing on Google Images and found a lot of memes. You might relate to some of these. Here are some people pleasers going out on a date. Her, what do you want to do? Him, what do you want to do? Her, well, whatever you want to do. Him, no, it's up to you. Her, I'm open to anything. Him, what are you in the mood for? Her, I don't know. How about you? Any of you ever had that type of conversation? Here are people pleasers at a protest. Leader, what do you want? People, everybody happy. Leader, when do we want it? People, whenever's good for you. Here's a t-shirt saying, a saying of a people pleaser. I'm a recovering people pleaser. Is that okay? People pleasers can be very nice people, can't they? They can be excellent workers. They might excel in school. They easily serve others. But people pleasing can also be harmful. Here's a serious meme about people pleasing. You can't be a people pleaser without also being a fraud. When you stop standing up for what is right, for what is true, when you stop standing up for Christ, then people pleasing becomes harmful. And as we open the letter to the Galatians again today, we're going to see that the Christians living in Galatia were concerned about harmful people pleasing. Please turn with me to Galatians chapter 1, verses 10 through 24. We're on this passage because we're going through the book of Galatians passage by passage. And this is now actually the second week that we're on this passage because there was just too much in it for one sermon. In this passage, Paul gives a defense of his apostleship in order to defend the gospel that he brought to Galatia. As part of his defense, Paul talks about God's gracious work in his life. That's what we considered last week. And in this passage, Paul also addresses an accusation against him. Namely, people were calling Paul a people pleaser. Please stand for me. Please stand with me for the reading. We stand in honor of God, recognizing that he is here, recognizing that this is his holy, inspired word to us. And the Lord our God says to us in his word, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And what I'm writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, 'He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy.' And they glorified God because of me. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would now give us understanding into what Paul was addressing in Galatia. Help us see how that applies to our lives today, the truth that's in this passage, the truth that Paul understood so well. Help us to understand it. Help us to live by it. Unto your glory, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Paul wrote this letter because false teachers had entered Galatia, and they were attacking Paul and attacking the gospel that he had preached there. And so I'm calling the first point of the sermon today the attack. The attack. In verse 10, when Paul writes and asks, "Am I trying to please man?" He's addressing part of the attack that was against him. The false teachers were accusing Paul of being a people pleaser. The accusation was based on the fact that Paul, a Jew who was circumcised and at times encouraged others to be circumcised, Paul told Gentile Christians, like those living in Galatia, that they did not have to be circumcised. We can picture what the attack against Paul sounded like. Here's how one scholar, William Hendrickson, worded what the attackers might have been saying. Paul is trying to win human rather than divine favor. He tries to please everybody so that everybody may follow him. Among his own people, he preaches circumcision, for he knows that they believe in it, but he withholds this rite from the Gentiles because they welcome exemption from it. Again, in short, the false teachers were saying Paul is trying to make everybody happy. Paul wants everyone to like him. Paul is being a people pleaser. That was the accusation. And the accusation certainly recognizes a temptation in the church, doesn't it? Pleasing people, that desire to please people, easily arises in the church. Because we all enjoy being liked, being accepted. Elders want to be liked and accepted. Deacons want to be liked and accepted. Pastors want to be liked and accepted. So do members. No one wants to be a bad guy and say, "That's sin." No one likes to say, "You know, that's not appropriate in worship." It can be very uncomfortable saying to someone, "Hey, let's remember, we should bring our tithes before God with a joyful heart." One of the hardest tasks for elders is church discipline. You know, it's a lot easier to say the nice things, the things people want to hear. We don't have time today to get into chapter 2 of Galatians, but there we see that the Apostle Peter was tempted to be a people pleaser. This sort of thing easily arises in the church. We want to be liked. People pleasing is especially a temptation in our culture, where you can quickly be accused of hate speech. In our culture, when we don't approve of everything everyone is believing, well, we might be called intolerant. We are not liked in our culture when we say something is a sin, unless, of course, everyone is saying it's a sin. If everyone is saying it's a sin, well, then you're a hero for saying it's a sin. But if some people are offended, well, then you're hateful for calling something a sin. So it's much easier in our culture to say the nice things, the accepted things, the things people want to hear. It's tempting in our culture, tempting in our churches to be people pleasers. And when you are a Christian people pleaser, most people will respond well to you. Most of the time, people are going to respond very well to you when you are a Christian people pleaser, until, that is, they realize that you're flip-flopping on your position. Once we know someone is flip-flopping, or once we think they're flip-flopping, then lack of trust sets in, even anger sets in. That's what was happening in Galatia. The people in Galatia were being wrongly told Paul is changing his message. Paul is a flip-flopper. Paul says one thing here, he says another thing over there. Paul is just saying whatever people want to hear. He changes his message wherever he goes. You can't trust Paul. You can't trust his message. And the Christians of Galatia were believing this accusation against Paul. And they were turning away from Paul, turning away from the gospel that he had brought to them. That was part of the attack on Paul. The accusation against Paul was false. But that accusation can at times be rightfully made against Christians, because people-pleasing is indeed a temptation. So this passage is important for us to think about, especially on this day we have installed new leaders in our church. We can learn a lot from the Apostle Paul as we listen to his defense against this accusation, and that's what we're going to turn to next, Paul's defense of himself. Paul's defense is both bold and wise. Those are subheadings. Paul's defense is both bold and wise. I say Paul's defense is bold because part of his defense is blunt condemnation of the different gospel that was being preached by the false teachers and accepted by the people of Galatia. We looked at that blunt condemnation a few weeks ago. In verses 8 and 9, Paul curses the preachers who thought of themselves as Christians, but who brought a different gospel to Galatia. He says of them, let them be accursed, which means God should send them to hell right now. Preaching a different gospel is worse than murder, because whereas murder takes away 100 years of physical life, a different gospel takes away eternal life from people, and does so misusing the name of Christ. So Paul says, let these false teachers who call themselves Christians, who bring you a different gospel, let them be accursed. Let them be sent to hell right now. That's what they deserve for what they're doing. Let them be accursed. That is blunt condemnation of the preachers of the different gospel. And in verses 6 and 7, Paul tells those listening to the false teachers that he's astonished that they are turning to this different gospel being preached. Paul tells the listeners, listen, you're turning to a gospel that's really not a gospel at all, meaning it's not going to save you. Paul tells those who are starting to follow those false teachers, you know, listen, you're gonna end up in hell if you believe this different gospel. This is not good news. It's not gonna save. These are all very blunt words from Paul. In our culture, that kind of blunt speech can get you accused of hate speech. But Paul writes the blunt words in a letter that's signed, sealed, and delivered. As part of his defense against this accusation that he is a people pleaser, right after writing in his letter this strong condemnation, Paul then asks, for am I now seeking the approval of man? Paul is saying, people of Galatia, as you read this letter, do I sound like a people pleaser? My words condemning the false teachers and this different gospel that they preach, does this sound like the words of a people pleaser? Paul's defense is very strong and accurate, because people pleasers don't write letters like the Apostle Paul wrote. Paul is telling the Galatians, do you really think my aim is to please everyone? Well, listen to me carefully. I'll tell you, let those false teachers be accursed. And I will tell you that if you follow their gospel, you'll find yourselves in hell, because they're preaching no gospel at all. Paul's bold defense is that people pleasers do not do what I'm doing in this letter. People pleasers don't warn people of hell. People pleasers don't condemn false gospels. And what we need to realize from Paul's bold defense is that if we are never bold about Christ, then we might be people pleasers. Oh, we should never be obnoxious Christians. Being obnoxious, that's different. We should always proclaim the truth and love, as Paul does in this letter. He's very loving in this letter. But if we never say anything, the world finds unacceptable, well, then we very well might be people pleasers, Christian people pleasers. And I encourage you to think about that. Think about how you act in this world during your week. How do you react when the truth about Christ is being attacked? How do you react when truth about sin is being confused, is being twisted? How do you react during the week, at work, at school, in your neighborhood? How do you react when these things are going on? Paul's defense reveals that the Christian message is a bold message, very bold message. Paul's defense is also wise. It's very wise because Paul knows that the healthy alternative to people-pleasing is pleasing God. Pleasing God. Listen again to verse 10. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Paul tells the Galatians he's not a people pleaser, he is a God pleaser, because that's the only way you can serve Christ. You can serve him no other way. To serve Christ, you have to determine what you are going to say and what you're going to do by what pleases God. And that's what Paul did. He sought to please God in everything. Paul determined what he was going to say, how he was going to live, how he was going to treat other people by aiming to please God Almighty. That's really important to understand, because many people today believe that the healthy alternative to people-pleasing is pleasing self. I'm going to say that again. Many people believe that the healthy alternative to people-pleasing is pleasing self. You can discover the popularity of this kind of thought by doing what I did this week. I looked up people-pleasing on the internet, found a lot of articles with tips about how to stop being a people-pleaser. And the tips were focused on self-pleasing. For instance, here's an article from Psych Central with 21 tips to stop being a people-pleaser. I won't read you all 21 tips. I'll give you just a few examples. One, realize you have a choice. You can say no. Now, that tip in and of itself is not so bad. But the question is, how do you determine when you're going to say no? How do you make your choice? Well, let's keep reading. Here's another tip. Set your priorities. Ask yourself, what are the most important things to me? Now, that's very focused on self, isn't it? What's important to me? That's how the article suggests you make your choices. And another tip is self-soothe. You might say to yourself, I can do this, or I have the right to park in this parking spot, or I made the decision that's right for me, or my values are more important than saying yes in this situation. That's how you self-soothe so you don't feel so bad. Another tip is to keep a confidence file, a file filled with positive and praising emails and notes to you. If you remind yourself of how wonderful you are, then you won't feel like you have to please others. A related tip is to recognize when you've been successful, because when you recognize your success, again, you won't be tempted to please other people. And another tip is to consider who you want to have your time. You can't give your time to everyone, so consider who you want to have your time. And there are other tips like those, and when you put all of these tips together, what you end up with is a person who is focused on self. You end up with a self-pleaser. Now, I'll be true to the article. I tell you, the article certainly does not promote being selfish all the time. Matter of fact, the article specifically recognizes that helping others is important. But interestingly, even when encouraging you to help others, the focus remains on self. Here's the tip again. Consider who you want to have your time. What's important to me? You're in control. You'll determine who gets your time by what's important to you. There's no mention in the article of any greater authority than you. If you follow these tips, you will certainly not be a people pleaser. You'll be a self pleaser. There's another article that comes right out and says, people pleasers, here's permission to be more selfish. The article says, Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines selfish as concerned excessively or exclusively with oneself, seeking or concentrating on one's own advantage, pleasure, or well-being without regard for others. And no one, of course, wants to be selfish according to that definition. So the author goes on to say this. My question I pose to you is, if we tweak to this definition and practice concentrating our time and energy to our own advantage without hurting others, there's the author's little twist here, without hurting others, pleasure or well-being before others, then what's the big deal? Shouldn't we think of making choices that will benefit ourselves and our future? That's the mentality of our culture. Don't be a people pleaser. Be a self pleaser. And dear friends, that's worse than being a people pleaser. Thankfully, Paul saw there's another alternative to people pleasing. You please God. You live according to God's revealed word. And you minister and talk to others according to God's revealed word. You live by the truth God has made known. You make your decisions according to what God wants you to make known. You decide who you're going to talk to and minister to and what you're going to say by knowing what pleases God. You plan out your day by what pleases God. You plan out your time by what pleases God. As an example of pleasing God, Paul goes on in the passage to explain how the message of the gospel was not something man gave to him. Paul didn't make up this gospel himself, and no man gave him the gospel. Paul heard the message of the gospel from God. Paul says in verses 11 and 12, "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me, this is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." Paul was given a message directly from God when that light shined on the day he was headed to persecute Christians. Paul's aim after that was to be faithful to this God-given message. Now today we don't receive messages directly from God like Paul did. We receive the message of God that was written down for us by the Apostle Paul and by other inspired authors. The Bible is God's revelation to us. This is not a man-made book. This is God's book. It's His Word. And the way we please God is by living and speaking according to the Word. Elders and deacons, that's how you need to lead us. Don't fulfill your office by aiming to please us. And please don't fulfill your office by aiming to please yourselves. Fulfill your office by aiming to please God. If you do that, then we, the people of First Church, will be shepherded. We'll be blessed. We will be well cared for. But if you don't do that, we will not be blessed. We will not be shepherded. Elders and deacons, you will not do us any favors by telling us what We simply want to hear. You will not do us any favors by ignoring our sins. You will not do us any favors by demanding of us things that are not in the Bible. You will certainly not do us any favors if all you're thinking about is yourself. You need to constantly, passionately spur us on to bow our knee to King Jesus and live by his word to us. You need to be God pleasers, and you need to encourage us and spur us on to be God pleasers. You need to set the example of being God pleasers. That's the only healthy alternative to pleasing people. And it's the only way to serve Christ. It's the only way to serve Christ. Here's what we all need to be doing. What the Bible calls sin, we call sin. The way the Bible talks about God's wrath, we talk about God's wrath. The way the Bible talks about God's love, we talk about God's love. We need to view others according to what the Bible says about other people. We need to view ourselves according to what the Bible says about ourselves. The priorities that the Bible sets, those are the priorities we need to set. The way the Bible tells us to treat other people, that's the way we need to treat other people. When a decision needs to be made, we need to look to the Bible for wisdom. When comfort is needed, we need to look to the promises of the Bible. We should not live by and declare any man-made messages. We need to live by and declare God's message. And what is especially significant is that we constantly and accurately declare the gospel to one another. We always need to be reminded by each other of the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus alone. The healthy alternative to pleasing others is not pleasing self, it's pleasing God. We all need to think about that this morning as we come to the communion table. Dear Christians, Christ Jesus gave himself up for us that we might be forgiven and cleansed, reconciled to him. It's in Christ that we have hope. It's in Christ that we are united. It's in Christ that we are one body together. It is through Christ that we bless one another and others as well. If we are going to be servants of Christ, we have to be pleasers of God. Please bow with me in prayer. Father Almighty, we thank you for giving us your holy word, that we might know the truth, that we might know what pleases you, that we might understand who we are, that we might understand how we are to treat one another, that we are understanding of what you call us to do, what you call us to be. We thank you for your sufficient word to us. Sufficient in all ways. We pray that you would help us to understand your word, be diligent to live by it. We pray that you would help us all, leaders and members together, to be bold followers of Jesus. Help us to be loving in all times toward other people, but constantly, truly, completely faithful to you. May you be pleased as we worship here on Sundays. May you be pleased when we leave and go out into our schools and our workplaces and in our homes. May you be pleased through our living, through our talking, through our praying, through our desires. May you be pleased through this, your church. May your name be exalted. May our unity be thoroughly enjoyed in Christ. Do that in our midst. We look to you for the help, for the strength. And we pray that as we come now to the table, you would help us to see our sins, help us to see our times of weakness, help us to see ways we are afraid of people and hence afraid to please you. Help us to confess and then Enjoy the forgiveness that you so graciously have provided for us in Jesus. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.